So, Lord, here we are this morning once again. We want to open up your word. We want to look at a kind of a long proverb today, 35 verses, and not trying to cover it in detail in a few minutes here because we're here to pray. But we're also here to worship. We're here to hear from you, Lord. And we want to just invite you in, Holy Spirit, to be in each of our hearts to receive from you and to respond as you convict us with willing hearts to heed your instructions as we have in these Proverbs. And Lord, to honor you. And then as you would lead us, Holy Spirit, to communicate back to you in a way, back and forth in prayer. And Lord, help us to welcome quiet times. So many times in prayer meetings, people get all anxious when it's quiet and feel they got to say something. And Lord, we want to hear from you. Because true prayer is really two ways. It's not just one way, not just us doing all the talking. And so guide us in these times to bring up things that are on focus for the group. Yeah, personal prayers are good, maybe at the end or whatever, but we don't worry even attention on ourselves if we can, really, except what as you put in our hearts, Holy Spirit. And whatever, if that's a personal prayer, then that's fine. But Lord, we're here to worship, to receive, and to respond. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in Proverbs 3 today, and we'll continue to go on through. I believe I thought about breaking this up into two sessions, and it would be good to do that. But also, there's some order in these Proverbs, and although the chapter breaks were not in the original, there's some completeness the way they have been organized here. And so we'll just go through these 35 verses, and we need to pay attention to the Spirit and see which of these things might impact us the most right now, today, in where we are, and of course, knowing where you are. We have a number of my sons in here. I think we have three times again, my son. And we're reminded that Solomon was the author who held the quill, but this is not from Solomon, I don't believe. This is from the Spirit speaking through the text as it always is. All Scripture is inspired by you, not by man, and inspiring man. And so, Lord, as we read this, give us understanding. Verse 1, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. How important obedience is. Let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace will be added to you. So the blessings there are threefold: long life, length of days, and peace. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Oh Lord, how often we look at our lives, even yesterday or day before, or whatever, and see periods of times where there was really almost no mercy or no truth, in a way, or not enough anyway, mercy. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And again, a blessing to find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. In the sight of God and man. Trust of it. Now, a couple of verses we all know. If you don't know anything else in Proverbs, you probably know these two verses. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? A lot of alls in here. And when you start to focus on all, I get convicted every single verse. Have I ever focused? Have I ever trusted in the Lord with all my heart? Oh, yes, some of my heart. But there's always that other side there that says, oh, yeah, I've done this before. I know how to do this. Lord, you've gifted me in this area. And man, here I go. And we kind of throw the trust of the Lord out the window. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It doesn't mean to throw it away, just don't rely on it as number one. It's not your own understanding. And how often we get the bit in our teeth and we'll fight to the death with somebody on what our understanding is. And they're fighting just as hard for their understanding and we get absolutely nowhere. But lean not on your own understanding. In all, again, another all, your ways, acknowledge Him. Another one where I fall short on. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. But the good news is, blessing is, He shall direct your paths. Beautiful. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Oh, pride. Anybody here leave their pride at home today? If you did, tell me how to do that, because I'd sure like to know. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but what? Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh. Interesting word for flesh there. It means string, or actually it means umbilical cord. That means a connection with life. You know, it's kind of interesting. The navel, it's also it's translated navel here, flesh in the Old King James, which is a good translation, but it's really string. And it really means the umbilical cord. And that's the center of our body, the navel, the center of our body. And that's where we receive all of our life for the first 9 months anyway. Then we cut it off, right? The umbilical cut off, but not really, not we're really with the Lord. So we have then, it will be health to our life, to your flesh, and then strength. What does that mean? Well, that word there can be translated moisture, really. Moisture to your bones. You know, one of the problems we have in old age, our bones get dry, right? And the more marrow you have produced, and the more, if those of you who are walking, that's what best exercise you can do for dry bones. But strengthen your bones, health in your flesh, life in your flesh. And then verses 9 and 10 go together. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Now that's something the United States has totally thrown out the window, among with most other things. But all we do in the United States is honor our possessions, isn't it? Pretty much. Anyway, some of us do too much. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits. That's kind of an interesting. You know what that word really means there, first fruits? It means a tithe. This is long before the Levitical law of first fruits. And first fruits does obviously mean give the first of what you've got. But there's also a connotation in that word of tithing. And so tithing goes way, way back, you know. Abraham tithed, you know, there was a tithe all the way back. So with the first fruits of all your increase. Okay. Well, I tithed on this amount, but I didn't tithe on that amount, you know. And again, it's not a legal thing, but it's giving Him the best of what you have. Honor the Lord with your possessions. That's what we're talking about here. And then the result, your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Oh, I can testify. I spent 50 years of my life not tithing. And I've spent, you know how old I am, another 37 years tithing. What a difference your life is. And when I think of our nation, and I saw a chart yesterday, I think it was, on the $1.4 trillion increase in debt just in this year alone, the highest of any administration ever, especially in times of non-war and times of non-emergencies. But we're now up over $35 trillion in debt. So not only we are not a lender anymore, we're the world's biggest borrower. So you know how weak that makes us, how weak that is when we are the borrower instead of the giver. And then chastening. This is always good for us to think. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest the correction So does that speak to you at all? For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. So today, when you get tested, well, first you have to determine where it's coming from. If it's from your own decisions, then this doesn't apply. If you're making bonehead decisions, don't think this. The Lord will help you and correct you back, but that's not, he's not causing that. But he does improve us, make us more Christ-like through trials and afflictions, doesn't he? So we should be welcoming those rather than, oh, no, Lord, what did you do this for, you know? And because our flesh will say that. This is terrible. You know, I'm just disproving Romans 8 today because I've got something that there's no way any good is going to come out of this. First time in history, but this is one of those ways, right? But whom the Lord loves, he chastens, correct, just as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Good illustration there, isn't it? And then 13, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. And so we're going to lump those together now. Wisdom and understanding, says her proceeds in the feminine, but it combines the two, are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. So how do you value your portfolio? Is it silver and gold, or is it wisdom and understanding? She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you desire cannot compare with her. How's that? Does that fit? Does that fit you? Do you desire wisdom and understanding more than all things? The desire? Length of days in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. So he's always going to give more than you. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. Isn't that nice? Doesn't that sound good? Her ways are ways of pleasantness. What? Who's her? Her is wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Oh my. Do you want peace? She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Continuing on with wisdom, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding, continuing on in understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. If you've ever taken a look at the hydrological cycle, it'll just, like anything else of the Lord, just absolutely blows your mind. I've told you many times, but I'll tell you again. We have 1.5 trillion tons of water fall on this earth every day. It's not disappearing. The water can't disappear. It can only go from one form to another. It's either liquid or gas or solid ice. But water doesn't go away. Now, we can transfer it from one point to another and be dry. If we suck it all out of one place and send it somewhere else, we get dry. You put, you know, what, 20 million people in the Los Angeles basin, and you're going to get dry because there's not enough water falls in this area of space to water everybody, so you got to bring it in. But I'm not talking about the distribution of water. I'm talking about the water on the face of the earth never changes. And true, sometimes it falls all in North Carolina or Tennessee, or and we've got real disaster in Florida. But that's the hydrological cycle here we're talking about here. The clouds drop down the dew. So where is what? How much of the Earth's surface is water? It's over 75%. I think it's 78%, something like that, whatever it is. That's all ocean. So where does evaporation, it goes, evaporates, obviously, because it can't get into the heavens unless it evaporates from Earth. And so it evaporates from the oceans. But you don't want the water on the ocean, you want the water on the land, right? So you put it in the clouds, and you blow the clouds over the land, and then you cause it to condense. And how nobody, and man can't figure even out how that happens. But these droplets form, and they got to be exactly the right size for them to break away from the magnetic force of the entity where they're dropping from. But if they're too big, then they come down and they tear all your leaves off of your plants, right? So isn't that amazing? It's just the right size drop. Now, sometimes, it gets very ferocious in a hurricane or something, but nevertheless, this is such a beautiful thing, and that's just one of many, many, many miracles here. But the clouds drop down the dew. Then again, my son, in verse 21, let them not depart from your eyes. What? Sound wisdom. Now here we got a little a different flavor here in addition to understanding. We got a discretion here. This is not just understanding. This is choosing. Discretion. Discreet. Choosing the right things. So wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. Now, I can't help but just thinking how cleansing the word is as you go through it. This morning I got up and I thought, I'd spent some time on this yesterday and did the notes and some stuff, or at least part of it. And this morning I thought, well, I'll spend the first 30 minutes just reading the scripture slowly, but over and over. And so I did 5 times, as it turns out, because I was just kind of, I didn't want to tell you how long it takes and not having done it myself. But so for 30 minutes, I just read the scripture slowly. And I went through it 5 times, as it turns out. And every time, more and more pops up. And if you read it another 5 times, more and more will pop up. And you get convicted here and you get convicted there this time through. And you read through it again, you get convicted another place and reconvicted. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing that the Word of God is for us and that God gives us. So verse 24, I like this now, naps. I like naps. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. I was so tired last night. We went to bed really early. And I was just so thankful this morning for what a refreshing night's sleep. I mean, it was just unbelievable, isn't it? And even a 20-minute nap helps an awful lot. At least it does for me. And your sleep will be sweet. Now, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked. What's the next word? When. This is not if, this is when. Do not be afraid of sudden terror and trouble from the wicked. When it comes, it's going to come. In fact, the wicked one never rests. He's after you all the time. And we need some understanding and wisdom to discern which is from the wicked one and which is not, because not all of the problems we have is from the wicked one. We try to lay everything at his doorstep, when my biggest problem is not Satan, my biggest problem is my flesh. I can ask the Lord Jesus to rebuke Satan and notice a dramatic change, but I ask him to rebuke my flesh and it works for a little bit and then it's right back again. But that may be different. It may be just my weakness. I don't know. But it says here, when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence. Woo, great. And will keep your foot from being caught. Isn't that great? How many times do you have dreams where you're really trying to get away and you can't? And I mean, you're scared to death and you finally wake up and you say, oh, wow, I'm glad that dream is over. That was not a good one, you know. Do not withhold good from those from whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I will give it to you when you have it with you. Don't cause other people a problem when a simple gesture by you could make their life better. Do not devise evil against your neighbor. Have you ever thought about some people that really make you upset and all of a sudden you start devising ways? Lord, maybe if you took them out tomorrow, that would be a good idea. No, don't devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Are you a safe neighbor? Believers are, I really believe that. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. How many times have you really started an argument when you had no basis for even arguing at all? Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord. Boy, oh boy. I don't think that fits the church so much, but it really fits. It does fit the church too, obviously, but just look at our nation right now. Have you ever seen more perversity in your life, anywhere, in any culture? Even worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, seems to me. Although we weren't there then, I don't know exactly what all went on, but where we're promoting this perversity, legislating this perversity, it's an abomination to the Lord. But his secret counsel is with the upright. That should be you, it should be me, because of what he's done for us and who we are. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Oh, there's one you can underline. I mean, there's 35 of them here you can underline, actually. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. Oh, my. But gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Well, Father, we can just say, wow, and just such a quick overview, quick survey is so limited in getting anything into just other than scratching the surface a little bit. But we just know as we read these verses the impact and the power that is there in your word. And we can see it relating to us perfectly, even though it was 3,000 years ago that this was written. So we thank you for it. And I pray that we would spend time with you and the Word and make it our own. Devotions, which is this kind of is good, but they're so superficial, generally speaking, because we don't really have time or take time to get feedback from you on every verse or every word and to tie it down. What does it mean to me? What is this saying? And the more we go into that, the greater it is. So now we have some time to pray. And so as we are led by the Spirit, let's just go to the Lord and lift up those things that he would put on our hearts to bring to him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Well, let's just close here. This song came to mind. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. So let's sing this. The words are on the third page, I think, of your notes.
Above all powers, above all, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all ever know, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, all nature and all created. took the fall and thought of me above all.
And Father, we thank you. You are above all. Help us to honor you today with every breath. In Jesus' name, bless these people because they came, and direct our steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.